We go to California. We bring in from Fox Sports 1, Mr. Doug Gottlieb. How you doing, Doug?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Not much, man. Just we hadn't talked to you in a while. You don't like us or what?
I'm right here. Just call me.
Okay.
You call me any day, I will answer the phone. Any day.
Mark got mad
because one time I was on an elevator, and I think the last time I spoke with you guys, I'm always available for you. I'm at your service.
That was a weak attempt at the truth.
Hey, before I get
what's the weak attempt at the truth? No, let's hash this thing out right here.
Oh, boy,
here we go. What are you talking about?
I want to know how you would defend the Warriors. I said earlier today, I mean, it's not like it's some kind of rocket science, but I would try to make Draymond Green beat me shooting the ball. You can't double KD.
That's what people try and do, and he becomes a very good screener and passer. That's what I would do. But you have to fully commit to it. I mean, the first thing is you just can't have possessions like they had the Houston had last night, where you get screwed up in matching up with their guys, right? You know, like Klay Thompson, that big, what was it, dagger three, when it looked like a backcourt violation, and you know, they become keystone cops on defense. Like, you just can't give that up. You got to make sure you get back in training. One of the things that really hurts the Rockets is the way in which they're playing offensively, right? So you got James Harden's best when he's playing downhill, and then you have Clint Capella rolling to the rim, right? So that takes two players away defensive transition wise. If you don't score, or if you turn the basketball over, your point guard is underneath the basket with his momentum taking you away from the defensive end. Same thing with your center. So now you're playing, you know, at best 5-on-3 in transition, and a lot of times it's worse than that. So I think that's a problem. But yeah, in the half court, you got to make him beat you in the half court. You know, you got to make any there, like if Andre Iguodala goes for 30, okay. If Draymond Green goes for 30, okay. Fine. Anybody else wants to come in and try and beat me? I cannot let Clay get any airspace. You know, you got to play. You know, when they played, when Golden State beat the Thunder, you know, one of the things that helped Golden State get back in the series was the Warriors put two players, whoever was guarding the non-shooters, basically at the elbow defensively and played like a two-man zone. I think that's how you have to play this team. And then anytime they take Steph out or Clay out, or KD out, now it becomes basically a triangle in two.
Well, do you think, can Houston get game two? Most people are saying this thing is just going to be a sweep.
I think they can get game two. I think they can get a game. You know, look, Golden State goes through these stretches to where they don't play great basketball. They only turn it over 9 times. They turn it over a lot more than that. And they go through stretches where they don't particularly value the basketball and they're not great. So yeah, I think you can get a game, maybe even 2 games. But one of the issues they're running into is the way Golden State's defending him, basically letting Harden do whatever he wants to do and then faking and staying home, is the other guys are kind of disengaged, you know? They just don't, without getting everybody involved and you start losing the game, they start to put their heads down a little bit, get their dobber down. So
it was a really bad sign last night for the Rockets, Doug, that they had those extended and shot clock violations in the first half. I mean, that's just like reading a book where you know what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah.
It was so tough.
No question. I've said it before. I don't think Golden State is the best roster ever. I just think it's a perfectly put together. That death lineup is really, really good for how basketball is played. And they just don't have the ability. You know, like, for example, they bring Nene in, right? And Golden State starts attacking Nene. They never once threw Nene in the post. That dude can score down there, but they just don't. They refuse to do it. They continue to play downhill, which is wasting him. So I'm not surprised by it, but I do think Houston can keep it closer and can win a game or two.
That was an odd substitution for me when Nene came into the game because they did. The Warriors don't waste possessions. They went right at him, like you said, from the very beginning. And then for some reason, Kerr took KD out. He looked pissed. They put him back in about 3 possessions later because Steph couldn't score on Nene. But that was, I don't know. The Warriors are so just so tough, man. It's incredible to watch them play when they're playing that well on defense and offense.
Yep. No, I think they're really good. And then I'm fascinated by tonight. You know, I can't tell whether or not LeBron just could get a Steph, or whether he just decided, hey, we're down 25, this is not a winnable game, let me save my energy, and put it all into winning game two.
I think that. I mean, we've seen that in the playoffs.
I guess a little bit, but I just from Jump Street, Doug, I was really disappointed in just the overall effort and energy that team possessed. You go to the Boston Garden, okay, you got to know you better bring it. And they did anything but that in game one. So I expect more out of LeBron, but I expected more out of LeBron in game one too.
Fair statement.
Yeah, but it's the other guys that are got to play better. I mean, they should make 15% of their threes. I mean, why didn't Tyler play Tristan Thompson more on Al Horford? He said after the game he should have.
Well, I absolutely think you should use Tristan Thompson more. You know, what happens is they get into this, hey, LeBron needs space, LeBron needs shooters, and Tristan Thompson turned around that previous series because of his offensive rebounding. You know, his offensive rebounding and his defense. You know, again, the problem, though, is that when you have Tristan Thompson for Kevin Love, you're much better defensively. You're much better on the boards, but now you have to deal with the fact that'll leave a shot blocker in the lane. That allows the Celtics to play a little bit bigger, and they have more agile five men than they just have. They're a better coach, but they got more fours and fives that they can throw at LeBron while also guarding Tristan Thompson. So I agree with you. I think that's the plan. That's probably what they'll do. And they'll play, again, even more through LeBron because they have no other shot creators. But I also think that this Boston team's built a little bit better. And people struggle to understand that, like, that as much as Cleveland missed shots, if you keep them out of transition, you don't give them second shots, those guys can't create shots on their own. You know, they can screen for each other, but you just switch it because, with the exception of Kevin Love, nobody can post up, and none of those guys can beat you off the dribble. You don't fear any of them.
Talk with Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports 1. Douglas, we got the lottery tonight. What are your expectations? What would pique the number one interest of all the NBA conspiracy theorists? If this happened, everybody's antennas are going to be up.
Well, yeah, like if the Brooklyn pick, which is the Cavs pick, they got number one, you're like, what? Right? So that would be interesting. I think the other interesting part is Luka Doncic, who's the best European player in this draft, is his national team coach was just hired as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. If they get the number one overall pick, would they go with Doncic? Is that a done deal? Would anybody trade out of that? Would you trade out of that pick? So I think that's going to be very, very interesting. I do think it's a fairly top-heavy draft, and of course, locally, you know, there's a lot of talk that Trae Young's going to go to Orlando. I'm telling you, the people, NBA people I talk to, is like they feel like he's going to be drafted too high, and it could be a tough little putt for him, because he's going to, in order to get the most out of him, you have to give him the ball, but that won't be well received by a lot of vets. And you know, look, you can just, it's hard for little guys in the NBA. They get attacked on switches. They get attacked on in the post, and then, you know, if you're a high-volume shooter, you better be a high-volume maker. Otherwise, nobody will give you the ball, and you'll have issues. So I think Trey is a lot like Baker Mayfield, one of those guys that everybody wants. No one wants to miss on the next Russell Wilson. No one wants to miss on the next Steph Curry, but that often causes guys to get overdrafted.
Any free agent news that you've heard? Any dealings? Sixers going to make a deal?
I still think it's too early. I mean, like, look, we still don't know what Paul George is going to do. I mean, I think the knee surgery thing caught some people a little bit off guard. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there's some talk of him to Phoenix. To Philly, but there's still a lot of talk of him coming out to LA. I think you got to look around. If you want to know the teams that are most likely to make a deal, you got to look in the middle, right? Don't look at the top. Don't look at the bottom. Look at places like Charlotte, right? Because you can't be in basketball purgatory. You can't be in a place to where you're just okay. That's not, and you're going to have a new coach there. And so do you end up trading, you know, your all-time leading scorer? Look at Detroit. They already made a move. You know, you look at the Nuggets and the Clippers, maybe the Timberwolves. I mean, I think those are the teams that are going to make the biggest moves. And then what happens with Kawhi Leonard? Does he come back? Does he sign that huge contract extension in the offseason? But I still think it's early yet Coaching changes have to be made before they start figuring out, all right, now we got to figure out free agency as well as the draft.
What if you're Danny Ainge and you've got all these assets, you got all these players, right? But you've also got, I mean, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward are coming back next year. I mean, Terry Rozier is just killing it. Do you potentially deal him? Like, I'm just wondering if they can't work it out in San Antonio, if you're Danny Ainge, you've got more than enough to go get Kawhi Leonard likely and pair him with Kyrie Irving. That sounds like a pretty good 1-2 punch.
And Gordon Hayward, those is your big three?
Potentially, unless you'd have to lose Gordon Hayward to bring him in. I would say here before too long.
You don't have to lose Gordon Hayward. I think you can have all three.
You would use that draft pick and then Terry Rozier.
I would prefer to stick with what they got. I would, Rozier's really a bench player.
Don't mix it up. Just keep it as is.
Well, I mean, you got to see what it's like when you have Hayward. You haven't even had Hayward for more than 2 minutes.
Right.
So, I still think their plan pretty obviously was they want those versatile bigs, versatile wings, guys that can shoot, switch, and then you have a couple of guys that can beat you off the bounce. I think you worry about this. You don't want to become like what the Thunder became. You have all these young assets. I think you're in pretty good shape. Like, what does the rest of the East look like? They're better than the Sixers. Sixers are going to have to keep reforming themselves. You got the depth of having all these good young pieces. Now, at some point, guys are going to price themselves out of Boston, and that's when you can do some sign and trades and move some stuff around. But until I haven't even seen Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving on the court for more than 2 minutes, I would say people should take a breath. I don't think you go after Kawhi right now. That's just me personally, because you have Jason Tatum, who's 20 years old and under club control for 4 more years. You got Jaylen Brown, who's, 21 years old. He's under club control for 3 more years. So I think you stick with what you got and you try and figure it out from there.
Austin Reeves, can you tell me about this Wichita State transfer? A couple of people asked me on Twitter.
Can really, really shoot. Not a good defender at the Big 12 level, but can absolutely shoot and stretch the floor. And you look at how OU, I told you guys, Mark was freaking out about, this is probably why he hasn't had me on, right? Because Mark was freaking out, Oklahoma, it's going to be, mass exodus. They're going to have a whole new team. Hey, look, dude, they're all going to have whole new teams, right? Everybody's leaving everywhere. Oklahoma State has a whole new team. OU, they added Calixte, the kid from Maine, who's not a true point, but really a good scorer. He was playing with a virtual double team everywhere. I think, didn't they have Miles Reynolds, who's pretty good, who plays off the ball. So there's their new backcourt. And then, Reeves has got to sit a year, but look, he's got to continue to work on his body and got to learn to defend somebody, but he can really shoot the basketball.
I just had OU 11th in the Big 12. I mean, that's it. Now, Gottlieb, I don't know where, if he's moved him up to 7th or something like that.
11th in the
Big 12?
I
disagree with him.
Hey Doug,
yeah,
it's the joke. You got to pick up what he's putting
it.
Down.
I got
Top
it.
Service. You want in with us? We're going big time, man.
Gottlieb,
where are you going?
You just Tout Service.
Now the gambling's legal.
Gambling's
you can't
legal.
Give your picks
Come
out on.
On
the radio. You were gonna have to.
We're gonna make people pay for those bad boys.
I love the idea that people are like, oh, now I can bet on sports. Do you know anybody who's wanted to bet
agree.
On sports?
We agree on that.
If you want to bet on sports, you're betting on sports in this country, more than likely.
Right. I'll just be honest with you, I don't love it. Just, it's not because anything's really changed. I get that maybe some good can come out of it, some tax dollars. So maybe, obviously, in a place like Oklahoma, they can find ways to fix some of the problems in education. Although, wasn't that what the lottery was supposed to be for? Right?
Don't even get us started, Doug.
I thought
that's
what the lottery was supposed
to
be for. Like, this is not, and then the next thing is like, okay, well, then we'll legalize weed. Because that'll pay for education. And then you'd be like, wait, why do we legalize weed? Like, because people like to smoke weed anyway.
Nothing says I love the children like some weed and gambling, right?
Exactly. But my issue is, I'm not a moralist. I just know that as somebody raising kids, it's hard to sit there and go like, hey, you shouldn't gamble. And then you're like, well, but gambling's legal now. And it's because we're just basically we're promoting things that were quasi-illegal in the past, right? None of our bookies, Mark and I used to play, my first bookie, my first experience in sports, and last really experience Uh-oh. In sports gambling came in Oklahoma City. We used to play ball at a church on the north side, and one of the guys there was like, he was my guy. And I'll never forget, it was, I was working at the Sports Animal, Dusty, and my wife was like, Angie said, hey, why'd you take $400 out of our account? And I was like, well, I was down like 300 betting on football games. What do you say? What do you mean down? Like, I was like, well, yeah, I lost. Well, you bet on the games? Yeah. And you didn't win? No. Like, why are you doing that? That's a complete waste of money. You're always going to lose. And, yeah, that was basically the end of my betting days. So, I mean, like, look, when I go to Vegas, I'll still throw money down because it's Vegas. And then you say, well, it's entertainment purposes. But I know that there are a lot of people that can't control. Like, you get a taste of it. You know, it's like when if you ever had a dog and it gets a taste of chicken blood, like, you can't take a keek away from the chickens. Like, that's how a lot of us are with gambling. And it's a serious vice. And it's always kind of been legal, but frowned upon. Making it out and out legal, not sure that's a great idea, especially when you get to, you know, kids 16, 17. And I know there are bookies in college that I heard about after college. I just think it's a volatile mix there.
Well, listen, if you ever want to get back on the horse, you can just subscribe to Mark and I's Town Service, and you won't have to worry about losing anymore.
Oh, no.
We're going to win.
If I can.
Mrs. yelling at us. We have to tell you bye.
Okay.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, great chat with you, Doug. We're going to call you every day you told us to.